Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hi, I'm Paul Capelli, and sitting over here in a much more comfortable chair than I am is Stephen Crutchfield, my partner in many ways.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Living Villa Capelli.
Hi. Hopefully you can't hear one of our dogs snoring in the background here, but he is snoring away. So I think today we're going to talk about something that has to do with the villa, but not actually happened at the villa.
We just had a big argument about this before we started.
Right. Stephen didn't want to talk about this, but I think we can talk about this.
Yes, we'll talk about all of our lives.
It's not as personal as it sounds already, and we shouldn't have had an argument about it, but we have arguments about everything.
Yes.
So I just got back from Florida. Yes, Florida. Sunny Florida. The Sunshine State. And I got to admit, you know, I've never really been a big fan of Florida, sorry to say. But the past few years that I've been going, I went to visit my mom, by the way, because it was her 80th birthday, along with my daughter, Nicole, my oldest daughter. It was her birthday on February 29th. I probably shouldn't say her age.
It was supposed to be a surprise.
It was supposed to be a surprise, but when I told my mother's sister that I was coming and was going to surprise my mother, her sister said, oh, no, don't do that. You might give her a heart attack. So I think she spilled the beans on me. They won't admit it, but I think she spilled the beans.
Oh, I thought you said she actually figured it out. I didn't know you. I thought Maria told her to. But
I think Maria told her. But because so we fly, my other daughter, my middle daughter, Casey, who lives here with us, and I fly from Bari to Rome, and then Rome directly to Miami, which is 11.5-hour flight just from Rome to Miami. It's like never ending. I thought we were going to end up in like Johannesburg or something. So we get to Miami. We rent a car. We rent it from Enterprise, and unfortunately, we had to wait in line for almost an hour. So we skipped the line. We went to another car rental place, National, and they had a car for us. So we get in the car, we get out of the Miami airport terminal, we get on I-95 to head north to Jupiter. Jupiter Beach is where my mom lives, beautiful place. So I said, okay, Casey, let's call grandma. So I call my mother, and phone rings. My mother answers, hello. I said, hi, ma. She says, oh, did you arrive?
She wasn't even good at acting surprised. That was horrible.
It was terrible. Like, I spent like thousands of dollars and, you know, took all this time out to go up to make a big surprise on her, and she wasn't surprised at all.
And meanwhile, I insisted that he tell his daughter, because I was working with his daughter to order some, what do you call them?
Aprons.
Aprons and hats for us here at the villa that have our wonderful logo on them. They look amazing. And I was like so sure she understood, because I kept trying to say, as long as you get them there before, you know, you leave and before the week is over here, I thought she would figure it out. But apparently she didn't figure it out, and she was very upset that I ruined the surprise. But
yes, because she also wanted to be surprised because it was her birthday as well. So, Stephen, you screwed it up.
I did. But I didn't. I thought she had figured it out. I mean, why else would I want those things there anyway?
So my daughter works at Chef's, what's it called?
Chef Works,
which is a big supplier of restaurant supplies and, you know, hats.
Maybe we get them as a sponsor.
Yeah. It's a really great company.
Exactly.
Oh, we love Chef Works.
Actually, it is really good quality stuff.
It is great. They're based in San Diego, where my daughter lives.
And then they give you a logo, and you can give them, I guess, a logo, anything you want, and they create a digital file which they can then embroider onto the apron or the hat or, you know, other shirts they have. And it's actually really good quality stitching. It's really nice.
And I think it's actually made in the good old USA.
Yep, I think so.
I don't think they shipped it to China and had it come back.
No, because it was done within like 2 days.
And they're really beautiful. So I get to Florida, and it's nice and sunny. It wasn't sunny the whole time, but it was sunny when we got there. And I got to admit, the more I go to Florida, at least southern Florida, the more I like it. I don't think I've ever been north of Vero Beach, which is where my in-laws used to live. But so I don't know if it's just that the more I go, the more I like it, or maybe I'm getting to be that age where I know I'm going to end up there someday, you know, like God's waiting room, as they say. But Jupiter Beach is really beautiful. I mean, I don't know how these towns get the money just for the landscaping. It is like manicured sidewalks. It's unbelievable. And unlike Italy here, there isn't a cigarette butt on the ground. I mean, there is no paper, nothing. They are spotless. A few days later, I had to go to have a couple of meetings with some people who are going to publish some of the photographs that we post on Facebook very often of our food and stuff like that and our life here at the villa. So I went to meet with them in Boca. I want to go to Boca, Boca Raton, which is the rat's mouth, right, in Spanish?
Yes.
And another amazingly beautiful town. It's like Beverly Hills all over the place. It's just wild. You know, beautifully manicured lawns, sidewalks, hedges, palm trees, flowers. It was just unbelievable. So I get to Boca Raton. I have my meeting with these two people, Vince and Michelle, who Michelle also, she does a lot of work with food companies through Whole Foods and I think it's called Fresh Foods, which is a sort of vegetable fruit market. Really, really amazing. Amazingly beautiful, beautiful store. I mean, you know, you pay for the stuff, but they have everything, and it looks beautiful, and it actually tastes great.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly. But in talking with Michelle and Vince Tachetti, an old colleague of mine when I worked at BBDO back in the 1700s.
That's got to be Italian last name, right?
Hello, of course it is.
But from where in Italy?
Vincent Sebastian Tachetti. So in Italian would be Taschetti, which would be little pockets.
And where would that name, do you know?
I have no idea. Yeah. She's D'Ambrosio, which actually is a big name here in Telizzi, my mother said. My mother thinks that her family might come from here.
And you will find out a lot of there are certain names that definitely originate from certain towns.
Yes.
So you can tell where somebody's from, even if it's not a town, it's the area, it's the state kind of, you know, and if it's not that, it's from the south and north. They're definitely,
yeah, but
they didn't travel around necessarily.
But usually if names end in an I, they're from the north. If a name ends in an O, they're from the south. I don't know how that works. A couple other interesting things. From what I've heard, it's just anecdotal. I have no proof of it. But usually if a person has the name, an Italian person has the last name of a town, like, you know, Joey Palermo or Vinny Naples, usually that denotes Jewish ancestry. Kind of like, the slaves in America when they, you know, were freed and left the plantations and took their owners' names, right? So, suppose if you know, last name Siciliano, those kinds of names usually denote some kind of Jewish ancestry in the background. And Italy, by the way, if you don't know this, has some of the oldest Jewish ghettos in the world. Venice being one of them, and the town right near us here,
Trani.
Has an old Jewish ghetto, as well as, I'm not sure if, I know that Trani is the birthplace of maritime law. I'm not sure if it's for maritime law in the world or maritime law just in Italy.
We're going to look that up and we forgot.
Yeah. Trani, which is a town, a harbor town right near us here in Terlizzi.
Isn't it actually the oldest Jewish ghetto in Italy? I thought it was something along those lines.
No, I think Venice is the oldest Jewish ghetto.
Okay.
And ghetto, of course, is an Italian name, Italian word, which I believe comes from borghetto, borgo meaning sort of a neighborhood. So a borghetto would be a small neighborhood, and that became ghetto. Just like graffiti is an Italian word, that comes from Roman times when people would scratch on the walls. Graffiare is Italian for to scratch. So people would scratch things on the wall, and that then became graffiti, if you didn't know that. The other strange thing about last names, one of the other strange things about last names is, you know, way back when women or families, couples, didn't want their child for whatever reason, a lot of times they just couldn't afford to raise another child, the only thing that they could do is give it away to the church. So, and actually here in Telizzi, there's an old convent that's no longer a convent, but on the outside wall, there's a round hole that has been plastered up. But in that round hole is where you would drop off your unwanted baby.
Wasn't it one of them kind of like a, for lack of a better term, lazy Susan?
No, some places have a sort of a turnstile kind of thing. Where you, and there's a word that goes with that. I forget what it is. Anyway. So, but then, you know, the good nuns and priests would do something rather horrifying to those children. They would give them names that would basically mark them for life so that people would know that they were abandoned or orphaned or unwanted in any way. Like supposedly names like Esposito or Esposito, parent, the father, was an exhibitionist. He would expose himself. There are names like Ficarotta, which is, I hope no kids are listening, no. Broken Hymen. Yes. So, you know, when you see these really weird names, you got to consider where they come from. And, you know, in our small town, as in many small towns around Italy and even anywhere else in the world during the Middle Ages, there really weren't any last names. You were known by what you did or where you came from or where you lived. So in this town that we live in, most families are still known by their, what we call a nickname. You know, just like when you see mafia movies and it's, Vinny the Barber and Joey the Butcher.
But that was also to distinguish, correct that, between, because there's so many Capellis in the town. So if you say Paul Capelli, there's 10 Paul Capellis.
Right.
So each family kind of had to have, some reason
because
to distinguish.
Because he's Capelli the Butcher.
Yeah.
And the other one is Capelli the Candle Maker.
Exactly.
But, you know, if you read books like one of my favorite books years ago was Pillars of the Earth by Ken Follett. And, Middle Ages, he builds cathedrals and all that good stuff. But, you know, everyone is known as by their first name and what their profession is, which still happens here today. But we have some very funny ones like Tuvagliord, which is dirty tablecloth.
There was one, wasn't it Fly Eater? It's like a...
Since Achid, without bird.
Yes.
So everyone thought the guy had no penis, but it wasn't because he didn't have a penis. It's because he owned a tobacco shop and he had a prized bird, like some kind of canary or something, I don't know what it was, that he would put outside his shop door every morning when he opened up. So one morning after he opens up and he puts the bird in the cage outside his door, he goes and has coffee. And some brat, wise guy, whatever, comes by, opens up the bird cage, and the bird flies away. From that day on, he was known as Vinny Without Bird, since Achid.
And your family was the dirt eaters, right?
Yeah, my great grandparents were dirt eaters, which mangiaterreno, which some people thought it meant that they would swallow up land, that they would just buy up land, because we did have quite a bit of land. But what it actually is, and the governor of Puglia, Nicky Vendola, who is my second cousin. His mother is my mother's first cousin. So we share the same grandparents on one side. He explained the story, which is in the 1800s and even before that, there were people around that could taste soil. They would eat the soil, and they would be able to tell you what the chemical compounds were, what the elements of that soil were, just by tasting it, by putting it on their tongue, and thereby knowing what would grow best in that soil. So they, you know, my family was known as the dirt eaters because they would eat the dirt to know what could be grown better there.
Well, the other name, interesting fact, is about the marriage here. And about the marriage, women do not take...
Oh, yeah.
And there, it's, the women here do not take the last name of their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also against the law to have any juniors here.
Right. You can't... if you think about it, though, right? I mean, it makes a lot of sense because... You know how in the States we lose track of people, right? Like even if you're on Facebook and you want to find a friend from high school, a female friend from high school, you can just about forget about it unless she has hyphenated her name.
Well, a lot of them put it in their middle names, which is weird too. But
well, they're doing that more now.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
you know, 50 years ago, no one was doing that. You would just take your husband's
name. No. I'm saying on Facebook.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Yeah. But because they want to be found.
Yeah, exactly.
But here in Italy... You don't take your husband's name. You keep your last name forever as a woman, obviously, because men can't get married here because the church wants to keep all the boys for themselves. So it's easier to trace because that last name goes through all the records. And if, for the same reason, you can't name your child once you're married. You can't name, the husband cannot name a son after himself. There's no such thing as a junior. Because if you do that, then you lose track. The other interesting thing is that most firstborn sons, especially here in southern Italy where it's still a little bit backward, most firstborn sons are given the name of their grandfather. So that's how also when you talk to people and you have a similar last name, you can kind of find out if they're related to you by knowing the first names in the family. You know, so, my grandmother was Angela. Oh, really? We have an Angela in our family. Oh, my grandmother was Josephine. No, we don't have any Josephines in our family. So you kind of know already whether or not there are people in your family.
But the only sort of issue with that is then if you have multiple siblings, they all name their first son after the grandfather.
Yes.
So then you have five Pauls.
Yes, you have my family.
All cousins.
One of my cousins here is Sigrisi. Like every they had nine kids, right? The parents had nine kids. The father was Sigrisi. The mother was Carnicella. So the grandfather was Vincent Sigrisi. So of the nine kids that couple had, each of them have had kids, and each of their firstborn sons are named Vincenzo. So there are nine Vincenzo Sigrisis running around in town that are all my cousins. So, and that's why, again, you need Vincenzo Sigrisi, the plumber, Vincenzo Sigrisi, the mechanic.
Except for it's never that. What's cool about it is that those names, we're simplifying it, obviously, for the audience. But it, like you said, the names are always so much funnier. It's more like Sigrisi, the bird, the no bird.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, baboon's red butt or something like,
there's one. The guy that we used to buy our almonds from, last name is Volpe, which is fox.
Fox, yeah.
But the nickname of the family is Kulapirt in dialect, which is... open ass.
And we have no idea. Like, that's the thing is, those names were created so long ago. We have no idea why the heck was that ever.
Right. A friend of ours here, Maria Pia, her family is known by her grandmother's nickname. Her grandmother was sort of, you know, handicapped. She walked with a severe limp. So her family is known as the tip-a-tap. Because when she walked, she would make the sound of tip-a-tap.
That's horrible.
I know, but it's true.
So I also want to know, okay, so just on a slight side note, even the vendors here somewhat have nicknames, but not necessarily related to family name. We go to two main fruit and vegetable vendors that we buy our fresh vegetables from, you know, basically like farmers markets. One is the Mofetaise in dialect. Mofetaise, which basically means he's from Molfetta.
Right. The Mofetese would be in Italian.
And then there's the Baroness. But where did the Baroness come
Baroness.
From? Baroness. See, where did that come from?
I don't know. I doubt that they had a Baron in their family.
Well, I was wondering, but it has nothing to do with their family name, right?
No. Their last name is Tedeschi. Yeah. Which in Italian translates to German, which is another weird thing, right?
So
the country is called Germania, Germany, but the people are called Tedeschi. I don't know where that comes from. And the language is called Tedesco.
Sí, Tedesco.
It's not Germanio.
Yeah.
But I think in ancient Roman times, there was a tribe of, I guess, barbarians to the Romans, which were called the Germani. And that's where Germany gets its name from.
It's funny. It struck me. This is the first time it struck me that, you know, those vendors have, and we will even within ourselves have nicknames for some of the vendors. Like,
I'm sure that I'm
you're the American.
L'Americano.
See,
right.
I mean, that's what they think of me. I always think I'm hiding somehow. I have a hat on, but I'm 2 feet taller than everybody else, and I'm sure I dress totally differently than everybody else. So they all know. I think I'm hiding, and I'm blending in.
For example, he dresses differently. Right now he's wearing a Texas Longhorn burnt orange sweatshirt.
Welcome. I was going to say, but we kind of do it. Is it just between us, the butchers? Because isn't the horse butcher and the porchetta guy, they have the same name, don't they?
No.
They did, because Nino was taking me one time to get the porchetta, and he was taking me to the horse guy rather than the other guy.
One is Giuseppe, and the other one is... They might actually... No, one's Giuseppe and one's Pasquale.
Okay, sorry.
Pasquale, by the way. I mean, we hear all these names. Giuseppe, which is really Giuseppe, Joseph. Pasquale... means, he's probably Easter. Born around Easter time.
Yeah.
Right? Paschal in other languages.
Well, but all the names, another thing about names, this is going to be an episode about names.
I thought it was about Florida.
I know. We totally changed it, which is great.
No, I'm going back to it.
No, they all have common names based a lot on the patron saints as well. They're big in the area. There's, I mean, like here there are 50 billion Nicolas.
Right. Because St. Nicholas... St. Nicholas is buried here in Bari, right?
Yes.
So St. Nicholas is the original Santa Claus. I mean, the real deal. Santa Claus, St. Nicholas, who is a like Armenian or Russian or Turkish, you know, from that area that's probably long gone by now. Bishop who did this really good deed to this couple that was getting married. He gave him a gift. And he became St. Nicholas, and people started gifting young people. So his remains were in Turkey. When Turkey became a Muslim land, the Italians, well, they weren't actually Italians yet because Italy wasn't a nation yet, but the Roman Catholic Church decides to send out two expeditions to Turkey. To bring back the remains of this venerable saint, St. Nicholas. One expedition goes from Venice. This is in the, I think, the 1100s or the year 1000 or something. One expedition goes from Venice. The other expedition goes from Bari. They go to Turkey. And, of course, the expedition from Bari finds the remains and the treasure, the golden treasure of St. Nicholas, and makes off with it, brings it back to Bari. Because the people of Bari, I'm sure, are much better thieves than the people from Venice. I mean, yeah, Venice is like all like...
Didn't they beat them like by one day or something?
Oh, I don't know about that. Stephen, really? You've been really studying up on this.
No, I remember the story. Somebody, I don't know who told us. I thought they'd really beat them by... It was very close. It was by the hair of their chinny chin chins.
I smell a movie. It's a movie.
Actually, that would be a good movie.
It would be.
Yeah, good.
And because St. Nicholas is buried here, first of all, Christmas here isn't as big of a deal, especially in Bari, as the other holidays. St. Nicholas Day is a much bigger holiday. And, you know, for me, as me and Stephen, as marketing people, we're like, you guys are out of your minds.
It's crazy.
Why aren't you celebrating Christmas? Why isn't every kid's letter to Santa Claus being sent to Bari instead of Finland or the North Pole where there's nobody there? I mean, who reads those letters? Nobody. And St. Nicholas is actually here in Bari. Unfortunately, he's dead, but don't tell your kids that.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't have to be a kid thing. It could just be, it could be like you said, you could make it Christmas Town in Bari during Christmas time.
Well, it's kind of like, let's put the Christ back into Christmas. Why can't you put St. Nicholas back into Christmas instead of, you know, jolly old Coca-Cola St. Nick? It should be the real story.
It's an amazing tourist opportunity that they don't take advantage
of. And because of that, we have a huge influx of Russian tourists, because the Russians, you know, St. Nicholas is, you know, Russia's patron saint, you know, Tsar Nicholas and all this stuff. So Russians come here in droves. Putin was here like 5 years ago. Nobody killed him. But anyway, and he's, you know, unfortunately friends with my cousin, the governor. You know, good communists always hang out together. So are we done with the St. Nicholas story?
Yeah, done with St. Nicholas. No, but I was there. But there are back to my main point, there are a lot of common names. Nicholas is one of them. It's Nicholas Nino, which is Nino short for a couple things, right?
It's like me. It's like Tom Me, Joey.
Yeah, but
Nino just means little. It just means little. Yeah. Like Nino
and
in
what's,
Spanish.
What are the other ones that are really common? I'm trying to think. I'm just going blank.
Giuseppe.
Giuseppe.
Because of St. Joseph.
Fabio, not as much.
No.
There was another one that I'm trying to think of. Shoot.
Down here, yeah. There's
a couple of them. And, you know, Paul asked me, like, who was at the door? And I'll say their first name. I might remember their first name. And then he's like, well, which one? I'm like, I don't know. It's like.
So, anyway, back to Florida.
Antonio was one.
Antonio's a big one, yeah.
Yeah, Antonio.
So, back to Florida. So, I'm liking Florida more and more, I have to admit. I mean, the weather's great. I hate winter, you know, and right now here in Tbilisi, it's kind of chilly. It's been raining for like 2 weeks. Luckily, I wasn't here. Stephen had to suffer through it. Boca Raton, I went to visit an old friend of mine, David Lucas, who's this great, great, great jingle writer from, you know, back in my day. He has lately become famous for something that he did when he was a young upstart in the music business. Blue Oyster Cult. If any of you remember Blue Oyster Cult and the song Don't Fear the Reaper. Well, that song would not be as famous today as it is. And Saturday Night Live did a skit about this. And it's all fact. It's not fiction. It is funny, I think. But the main ingredient of Blue Oyster Cult's Don't Fear the Reaper, the main musical instrument that put it over the top, was a... Steven, do you know?
No idea. I don't even know the song. Sorry.
You're too young. a cowbell. David Lucas, an old friend of mine from my advertising days, he was the guy in the production house when they were producing the Blue Oyster Cult album and said, this song needs a cowbell. And if you listen to the song, but Saturday Night Live did a whole skit on the cowbell in Don't Fear the Reaper. Anyway, he lives in Boca Raton, so I went to visit him.
Was it Don't Fear the Reaper?
Don't Fear.
Oh, Don't Fear. I'm going to just write, sorry guys, Don't Fear the Reaper. And I'm way too young for this song.
Yes, you are.
But I'll link to it maybe in the show notes.
Yes.
So, Wade, do you want to call this an episode and then we can talk about Florida in the next one?
No, I have other things to talk about Florida.
Yes, but we can talk about Florida in another episode because we talked about names. This can be the name episode.
No, like, I'm going to
banana nana,
talking
nana,
about...
Banana, nana, nana, nana. Yes.
And then I went to Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, but then we'll talk about that in another episode.
Okay, fine.
No? What you want to talk about? You think you can do it in 5-10 minutes?
Yes.
All right.
No, because part of the interesting thing is, you know, I think most people, especially Northeasterners, you know, I grew up in Boston and spent most of my life after that in New York. we all look down our noses at Florida. And a lot of times, rightfully so. I mean, every horrifying story about people shooting and, you know, incest or whatever it is, it's all about Florida. Florida, Florida, Florida. Miami, which I have never liked, never, ever, ever, all of a sudden has a sort of appeal, especially in the food business. I mean, Miami is the crossroad of three very, very, very important parts of the world. The U.S., Europe, and Latin America. I mean, it is, it, if Miami, like it or not, is becoming this central point in the world where those three giant continents meet. And if you really want to do business, all sorts of business, from, you know, especially in the food and liquor category and entertainment, not as much because I guess Los Angeles is still there, but you know, sailing, cruising, travel, tourism, restaurants, hotels, you know, anybody who wants to be anybody has to be in Miami today. It's no longer just New York and London and all the places that have been around forever. Miami is the place to be, and hopefully.
You used to hate Miami.
I know. I still hate Miami.
You, I mean, seriously, folks. Well, I mean, he would be like, I'd go there for work. He's like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And he was just, he did not. I always thought it was interesting. I wouldn't want
to. Because you're from Texas. Anything is interesting to you if you're from Texas.
That's true.
Where are you from again?
Kennedy, Texas.
Kennedy, Texas with one N.
Exactly.
One N.
Mm-hmm.
We're just an hour away from Corpus.
No, hour and a half.
Oh, sorry. And I was born in Beeville.
That's right. That's where Bush used to go quail hunting. It's true.
And now he goes queer hunting. Miami, I think, look, I'm going to have to go back again soon. Actually, I might have to go back again soon. I am amazed.
No, because Casey better be here to take care of the pigs, because I'm not taking care of the pigs again.
Yeah, have we told you about the pigs?
We haven't talked about the pigs.
We have two piglets.
And they're a pain in the butt.
No, they're cute.
No, they're not. Paul says they're cute because, you know, he hasn't taken care of them yet.
I'm not taking care of them. All I'm going to do is eat them.
They're so...
I made a deal with my daughter, Casey, who lives here with us, that, you know, we could have pigs and she could raise them, but it had to be a male and a female. So then when they copulate and have a brood of piglets, we'll keep a couple of the new piglets, and the piglet mom and dad go to slaughter. We make sausage.
Yeah, you have to keep the mom around for a little bit.
Maybe, yeah.
You have to. I mean,
sow. She's a sow.
They're pains in the butts. They're supposed to be intelligent. I think they're one of the most disgusting animals I've ever had.
Disgusting has nothing to do with intelligence.
An intelligent animal would not poop in their own drinking water. I'm sorry. It's disgusting. And they poop in their food tray. It's like a disgusting animal. I mean, dogs and cats find a corner to go poop in if they need to poop.
Well, all I know is that in hopefully 6 to 8 months, we'll be here talking about how we're making pork sausage and prosciutto and pancetta and guanciale.
I just rolled my first pancetta recently.
Really?
I thought he finally rolled his first joint. Nope.
No.
I rolled my first pancetta.
That's right. You did, right?
Yes. I'm so excited. I hope it comes out.
Yeah?
I don't know. It was an experiment for us to try.
He didn't put fennel seeds in it.
No. But I don't think it'll ever match his cousins from Tuscany, which...
No.
Melts in your mouth and is a little bit of heaven on your tongue every bite. It's so good. But I don't know. Well, hopefully this will come out. Why don't we call this one, and then we'll pick it up next episode.
Okay.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And
look for us where?
At villacapelli.com. That's VillaCapelli. And we will see you guys later. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.